Hi everyone, I'm Les.
And I'm Ashley.
And you're listening to Anthropotamus, where we explore some of your favorite anthropology topics.
Hi everyone, welcome to our latest episode of Anthropotamus. Today we're discussing the book Sins of the Shovel, Looting, Murder, and the Evolution of American Archaeology by Rachel Morgan, who is an archaeologist, I think of Southeastern archaeology. This book just came out a few months ago. I really don't have anything bad to say about it. This is one of the few books where I felt like it was very well written. It wasn't, how I hate overly descriptive stuff. It wasn't like that at all. It was descriptive, but straight to the point, filled with a lot of information. And I really liked the way that she wrote it kind of like in the style of a novel. So I felt like it was easier to follow along instead of just having like a dry history book.
I agree. Yeah, no. So this, the book immediately grabbed my attention. It was a little bit, I was like, okay, so where are we going? I was a little confused about what the startup was. And I was like, okay, so what's happening here? Why are we in Utah? And then they started talking about the two, main characters that are followed, which are the brothers out in Utah and so on. And then it starts getting into looting the sites and selling it. And I was like, okay, so this is a familiar story. I know this story, right? I've heard it before. And I think anybody who has have any classes in archaeology or has any real, done any real studying in archaeology is going to be familiar with this kind of story. If you're from the United States as an archaeologist or have United States archaeological background, then you'll know what what she's talking about initially. So, and I do think that's a factor, is knowing what she's talking about. It helped grab me and pull me into it.
The only issue I had was there was so many names she kept mentioning, and I'm so bad with names that it became difficult to follow along listening with Audible. So this is something I think I would have preferred to have a hard copy and read it so I could actually see the names and help me remember who she's talking about. That was really the only issue I had with the book, was like, damn, I wish I had the hard copy so I could remember people's names and who she's talking about.
Yeah, I agree. Maybe the Audible should come with like a note card so you can identify all the people.
I know, right? I think felt like she did it so well telling this history that I had to stop and be like, wait a minute, is this a novel or is this actual history she's writing about?
Yeah, it was really well conveyed. I think I was surprised at the amount of emotion, not quite right, the level of stakes that she was able to apply to the story, even though this is a historical thing that's already happened. It was really interesting to see the evolution of this person's life go from, a startup in this town, they're doing really well, they build this empire, and then near the end, everything's falling apart, right? It was an interesting tale to go through.
One thing I thought was funny is, oh God, what is that guy's name that was working with Richard? And Richard is always complaining about this guy in letters. What is that that guy he's always complaining about? Yeah. But I was like,
that's the thing about paper copy. You need the paper copy to keep track of all these. Yeah.
Yeah, oh God, I wish I remember the guy he's always complaining about. What is the name of that guy?
I don't remember.
I don't either. I almost felt like it was a female name, but it wasn't a female. Anyways, I thought it was so funny because like there's these documentations of him like complaining about his coworker or this other researcher, and it's like, oh, my wife could do his job. Look, I don't need him.
Yeah, but was it when they split apart, the other guy got some of those letters? He said, no. No, I read your letters. I know what you think of me.
But didn't he go back eventually to work with them? I don't remember him reading the letters because I had to speed through the book to get it was a lot. It was a lot in this one book. But I thought it was funny because the author never discusses any documents about how the other guy felt about Richard. Uh-huh. It's always just Richard complaining. And I'm just like, this dude is just like trying to mind his own business and do his job. And Richard's over here like just talking crap about him all the time.
You know what would be gold is if there were some documentation about how he felt and it was just like, yeah, Richard was kind of moody today, so I made sure to, you know, get him some coffee or some tea and just like doing whatever he can to just make this guy feel better and not, and then just like this guy is ripping on him the entire time.
I just get the impression that he was just like, dude, I'm just here to do my job. You were not worth my energy, and just kind of like kind of just kept minding his own business.
I feel that way sometimes.
But yeah, I would love to read the other guy's viewpoint on Richard. But I mean I think the big thing about the book is talking about the racism and that's rooted in anthropology and in archaeology and this complete disrespect archaeology has had on cultural resources throughout the decades. And things are changing. Things are definitely changing.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was a huge issue and it's still an issue.
I was just going to comment on that. Yeah, no, so it has been a terrible issue. And this, and I had learned a lot of what had gone on in this book already, but, I'll say this, there is an element of shame, I think, in the way people teach archaeology. They tend to want to gloss over that sometimes, depending on who's teaching it. Some of the professors that I've had have been very, very straightforward and very honest about the history of archaeology. But others have very much, you know, wanted to just kind of skip past it and not talk about that part. That's in the past now type mentality. But the truth is, yeah, no, this had a major impact. It was, there were some terrible things that archaeologists did. And as somebody who's going into an archaeological field, I think it's important for us to recognize that, look back at it and understand, you know, what's happened, you know, so we can try to do better going forward.
I thought it was interesting because, you know, it talks about how Richard and his team worked at improving how they preserved things and dug things up and documented everything because, you know, we know archaeology is very destructive and how, you know, they came back to the site at one point and somebody else had been there and just kind of like totally destroyed it and had like bones scattered everywhere and artifacts just everywhere. But then we get to the end and it's discussing... you know, it brings up the youngest brother on some tour and how the youngest brother is listening to the story about how his family were basically looters. And yes, what Richard and his family did was not okay. The way they just collected things and sold them. But in comparison to the way archaeology was being handled by others at that time period, I think was progressive. I don't want to give him a gold star, but in comparison to other archaeologists and the looting that was going on, they weren't such the bad guys. They're bad guys.
But no, they're bad guys.
They're bad guys, but not in comparison to the other things going on at that time with archaeology.
So they were just bad guys with better manners. That's all it was. When they started using procedures to actually collect things and they were a little more careful, things got better, but they were still selling cultural artifacts. They were mining cultural heritage for gold, for subsistence.
But I think we got to remember that this is a time period when basically, you know, white settlers and colonizers were, you know, told we can do whatever we want with this stuff, who this belonged to, they're dead. They don't matter no more. So we can do whatever we want with it. So, I mean, I think that's an important thing to remember. And I'm sure the way they documented things influenced, you know, how we document and excavate things now.
Oh, absolutely.
But yeah, let's not encourage the selling of indigenous
Yeah,
cultural
no,
resources.
and you're right. They were doing better than a lot of people at the time. So there is that, and they helped lay a foundation for some of the ways that we do things now that are, much more respectful and procedural and so on. But at the same time, it is. I mean, this book is called Sins of the Shovel. It's,
Yeah.
the truth of the matter is just what's done is done. It doesn't make it okay. What we can do is, move forward from it.
But I kind of felt bad for the brother at the end because he was probably like this little old man who's probably stuck in his, you know, ways, who didn't understand, who like never changed with the times and was like, why were my brothers so bad? But yeah. But I mean, I think that's the thing about anthropology is trying to understand other people's cultures and perspectives, and they may be in the wrong, but it's still important to understand their views are coming from.
Yeah, and that there's another thing. You can't really judge somebody if you're not from that same cultural, framework. And that doesn't just exist. Cultural framework exists across time and space and groups and people. It's not just the culture of, San Diego versus the culture of Sacramento. You've got San Diego 1920s versus the 1930s, 40s, etc. And we can look back at this group of people and say, well, there is it's it was more acceptable for them, but at the same time it was also fairly evident that it wasn't really all that acceptable, considering how often people called them looters and how much of the legislation was actually developed to keep them from looting things. So that there's that. Like they had to know that what they were doing was wrong,
I
if
don't
for
think
no other
so.
reason. Well, I mean, think about it, because if for no other reason that people are trying to say, hey, this is not okay, we need to protect these resources. And it was a relatively large group of people.
I don't know. I think if you grow up believing certain things, it's hard to get out of that mindset, like this idea that, oh, I'm superior, and because of A, B, and C, that I have the right to this. I think people have a hard time getting out of their own heads and looking at other people's perspectives and really understanding, you know, two sides of the coin. I don't know. I think to them, well, being probably slightly racist, and also I just think
It was a little more than slightly.
yeah, it's like I was being nice.
They were a little bad.
I mean, really, people have a hard time just accepting information that doesn't agree with the already pre-existing perspectives or beliefs.
I mean, yeah, that's definitely true, but I also think that that's a bit of a cop out. Right. So it's and what I mean by that is a lot of times people will say, well, the prevailing evidence right now is telling me, okay, so this is not right, but this is how I was raised, so this is how I'm going to do it.
But
Refusing to change with the time.
that's not how people think, though.
Well, yeah, so maybe I hope I never
Do should
solidify into
people?
that.
I hope not either. I mean, should people have an open mind and listen to others? Yes, but I mean, even look at our own current political situation. How many people are just so stuck in believing one side, even when facts are presented to them?
I mean, you're right. You're absolutely right. It just, I remember hearing an old saying in a, I think it was an old cowboy movie or something like that. I don't remember, but it went like this: if one person calls you a horse, you call him a jerk. If another person calls you a horse, you punch him in the face. If a third person calls you a horse, you better go shopping for a bridle. And not, I'm not telling anybody to go punch somebody in the face, so don't. But the same was, it's at a certain point you have to take notice of what people are saying.
You
If
should.
enough
Do
people are
people do
saying
that
the same
though?
thing, even if you don't want to accept it, you should take notice of it and make your own evaluation of it. Make an honest evaluation of it. But
I
you're
mean,
right. People
yeah,
don't do
I
what they
agree.
should.
I agree that people should be more open-minded and be more accepting of information. But people are ginormous a-holes and they like to believe whatever they believe and don't want to let go of that. I mean, there's a reason why, in general, people tend to make friends with other people who already have similar belief systems or see the world a certain way.
Yeah, it's called an echo chamber.
Yeah. Anyways, just turned into a very serious topic about discussing
Yeah,
ideology.
and I like this. This is good. It was a good. So, and you know, there was that comment that I was talking about, that somebody said, "This is an interesting but poorly written book, etc. It's just too many disjointed, underdeveloped ideas and too much unexplained terminology," and I think that boils down to the person didn't have enough foundational knowledge to understand the story as a whole. But for those of us who have that background knowledge, I think it's important to spark these conversations.
I think it's very important also to, I mean, when we can accept the fact that we've chosen a career field that is rooted in racism and just looting and the disrespect, just complete disrespect of, people's heritage. I mean, it's important to acknowledge that so we can change that and start building better relations with, the indigenous community.
Make changes. You don't clean by sweeping things under the rug, right?
Yeah.
You have to address the problem. You sweep it out, you scoop it up, and then once you've addressed it and gotten rid of it, then it's clean, right? You put it under the rug. It's just a problem for another time. Second the rug moves or needs to get moved, it just unveils all that crud that would have been that we could have taken care of already, and now it's making a worse mess than it was before. And you know, I lean heavily on metaphors here, but you know, the past happened. It's we can try and deny it if we want to, but that really just leads to more conflict.
I mean, what else can I say? I you know how we always speed up the book?
Yeah, I definitely did.
I actually couldn't go past 1.2. The narrator spoke so quickly
Wow, really?
that I couldn't go past 1.2. Which I mean, I think is a good thing.
Yeah,
Thank you
yeah.
for that narrator, because I feel like we have so many books where the narrator speaks so slowly that I speed it up to 1.5 and it still sounds normal to me. So good job to that narrator for not being a slow reader.
Not being a slow.
I don't know who was a narrator. I don't
Let
even
me
know.
pull it up. I just had it at any second. The narrator was Rachel Perry.
Okay. Yeah, good job, Rachel Perry, for not being a slow reader. Oh, I hate slow readers on Audible. Drives me nuts.
I don't mind them. I like a slow, even timbre. It depends on the story, but yeah. For
Not that
something like
that's
this, I generally do speed things up.
not that I want to make this whole discussion about the narrator.
I think
But
it's a good idea to recognize the narrators here and there. We want to give them good positive feedback as well. Encourage more fast readers.
yeah, we've had some bad narrators that we've had to listen to. Yeah, I'm not really sure what else to say about this book. On, something I really did not have any knowledge on was it the World Fair, was it? I didn't know anything about that when they started talking about that.
The World Fair.
Maybe I
I
was,
that was on what, chapter 10?
I don't know, I was like in the middle of the book.
Yeah.
And it was I was trying to speed through the book so we can record. I
I
hate to say
remembered
that, but
something about it. I remember reading about that before, but it was like only as references in a textbook.
well, my thing, I was a little confused when I was listening because it was, I had to speed it up a little bit, and I don't know. I didn't want to have to keep going back in the book. And I just remember them discussing inviting indigenous people.
Oh
And
yeah,
I
that was.
was conf were they putting them on display?
Yeah, they were. That was pretty bad.
Okay,
And then a
I'm
lot of them died too.
yes, I was so confused. I thought it was so absurd that they would put people on display like that. I thought I was not listening correctly.
Yeah, no, so that was one of the sins of the shovel there for sure.
And I couldn't believe that there are indigenous people who agreed to travel to the fair to allow themselves to be put on display. And didn't they
Well,
say only some people were compensated?
I was gonna say I don't think they were given much of a choice in whether or not they went. It was, and what was it? I forget the guy's name. I swear we need to start writing things down when we read these.
Well, I listen to the book while I drive, so otherwise I would write down things.
Yeah. I listened to it. Well, I listened to it while I was doing about 1,000 different things. Yeah, so the guy had a history of not paying his debts. And in fact, that was one of the major points of drama, if you can put it that way. In a book about history, it was a bit of a dramatic point when his whole empire kind of started collapsing because he didn't pay his debts and people were finally coming to collect. And then didn't he get shot by he got shot by somebody, didn't he?
I don't remember. We're talking about Richard, right?
Yeah.
I was confused because it starts talking about how his wife became a widow, and then I was like, what the hell did I just miss? I must have been distracted. And then I was trying to go back to figure out where I'd missed it, and I couldn't figure that out.
Yeah, I think he ended up getting shot by somebody he was having an argument with on the road. But well, I guess if I have something to say about this book, it was very interesting and it'll give you some perspective. And I should say also that and I know we've mentioned it, but we are, you know, as a discipline, archaeology and anthropology has changed and is still changing. So don't take this as the gospel of how things are done now. Things are developing in for the better. But if you do want to read this, I would recommend researching anthropology a bit beforehand because a lot of the terminology, like the comment said, a lot of it is pretty niche. It is related to anthropology as a discipline. So if you don't have that background, it might be a little more of a tough read for you.
I didn't even notice the terminology until, you read that review, and I was like, oh, I guess you're right. I'm just so used to listening.
There's a lot of terminology in it. It's not high level stuff. It just would be if if you don't actually look things up when you read, or if you don't like to stop and check, hey, what is this? That's going to be a tougher read for you. You won't probably enjoy it as much as if you have that background knowledge. But again, you could absolutely just go through it and then stop and just look up the meaning of a word here or there, to fill out your knowledge base. I do think that that review as that part as a problem. Yeah, no, That was easily solved, just by doing a little bit of self-study. It would make for a slightly better experience if you have the background.
I was thinking too when I was listening to the book. I was like, this would be a great mini series,
Oh yeah.
because there's like all this like racism and
Well, didn't they?
looting, and then there's like love stories in it, like people
Yeah.
getting married. And I was like, dang, this would be a hella good mini series. They
Didn't they
just
start a mini series based on, didn't they talk about one that they started and then they had they it got shut down because it was capitalizing on the all of the stuff that I forget what
I don't
happened
remember
anyway.
that.
Maybe I might be thinking of another book. I was reading like three books at the same time for while I was reading this.
Yeah, I don't remember. I think it'd be a great mini series though.
Oh yeah.
But yeah, anyways, I mean, I don't really have much else to say. I recommend the book. I
Yeah.
recommend getting, I mean, if you're like me who have a hard time remembering who's who, I would get the paper copy. But oh, I'm looking at it right now. It's only in a hard copy. Oh, but it's only $25.
Yeah, it wasn't too expensive.
Yeah.
I think it's a
Anyways.
good mantelpiece too. Like, can you imagine somebody walks in says "Sins of the Shovel"? What is that? It's
Yeah.
a very evocative title.
Yeah. Anyway. Excuse me, edit that out.
I think it was after, so it will be okay.
Okay. You
I'm
ready to
gonna put
wrap
that
this?
in the front of the, I'm gonna
Okay.
shift it to the front. That'll be what we open with.
All right, you ready to wrap this up?
Yeah, let's do that.
Okay. Anyways, great book. Really recommend it. We're talking about again Sins of the Shovel, Looting, Murder, and the Evolution of American Archaeology by Rachel Morgan. And until next time, guys, see ya.
Thank you all for listening. Distribution of Anthropotamus is in collaboration with the American Anthropological Association. Please continue to follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Anthropotamus for our latest episodes, show notes, and book discussion schedule.